Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
God changed my perspective with something that the speaker, Alan Griffin, a wonderful guy, did a good job this week at camp. Something he shared with me. But before I share with you what he shared with me, I'm going to read this Bible verse. But I'm still, it gets me. You make me brave. Such a good song. I love that song. Because to be a Christian, you got to be brave. But see, we like to stay in the comfort zone. That's when we get our hands up. That's when we get reacting to things, is when we speak about his love, because it's very comforting, which is good. But realize there is a calling on us, and not just on me. Yeah, sure, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm not one yet. I'm going to be a pastor. Sure, I get up here and share. But guess what? There is no special thing about me. There is nothing. You could do the same thing I do. In fact, you're called to. And it's preaching the gospel wherever you are, in the way that you live and verbally, like actual words. Anyway, all right, hold on. We're going to go to, not there, that's for later. Okay. Second Chronicles chapter 2. All right, if you have a Bible, use it. If you do not have a Bible, the pew rack in front of you, there should be like this red Bible, okay? You can take that and use it for this service. If you do not actually own a Bible, like in your house, or in your house you have one of like those really old school, super dusty, just giant, like it's the foundation type of a book, take that one. It might be a little bit easier to read, okay? You can steal that. Holy stealing, it's permitted here. So take that Bible. But 2 Chronicles chapter 2, and I'm going to start with verse 5, okay? The house that I built, okay, hold on. The message this morning is entitled Church in the Wild, okay? Chapter 2, verse 6 of 2 Chronicles, verse 5, sorry. The house that I am to build will be great, for our God is greater than all gods, amen. But who is able to build him a house, since heaven, even highest heaven, cannot contain him? Who am I to build a house for him, except as a place to make offerings before him? That's so good. Some of you are like, I don't know what it means. I'm going to tell you. It's so good. This man's going to build this giant temple, this house for God. But then it dawns on him. If God is omnipresent. God's everywhere. He goes where he pleases. Just because I build him a temple, build a church, this does not contain him. Then why do we live like it does? Why does church only happen here? What? He realized it all the way back then. This is, even the highest heavens cannot contain him. What is this place going to be other than to offer sacrifice to him? This church, this building is great. It's good. We need to go to church. We need to be at church because where two or more are gathered, and also where iron sharpens iron, encouraging one another. That is what church is for. It is good. But I will tell you something. This place does not contain him. Then why do we live like it? There's something Alan Griffin said this week, and I loved it, man. This is what changed my perspective, was this right here. The world does not need a good church service. It needs the church to start doing a good service for them. There's so many social issues out there right now, all over the world. In Sparta, Wisconsin, the U.S., the greatest, and the world. all over. And guess what? Your Facebook status is not going to change anything. Yet I see, I see countless people who spend, I guarantee they spend at least 5 hours typing some of these things out. It's like a flipping blog. They just are writing a life story on how they think these words will change the world. No, they won't. Maybe if you would have spent that 5 hours on your knees praying, maybe something would have changed. Because guess what? A person who fell into the trap of thinking, I want to change things. I want to make an implant or an impact on these students. Terrible. I want to make an impact on these students. Every time a student walks into that youth room, I want to change their life. I want to do something for them. Guess what? Wrong. This is where we get mixed up. That's the motivation of, I'm going to write this Facebook status. That's the motivation of, I'm going to write this card. That's the motivation of, I'm going to write this book. That's the motivation, I'm going to make this video. That's the motivation of, I am going to do something. Guess what? It's not I, it's God. Our perspective needs to change, and it needs to be, I want God to make an impact in these students. I want God to make an impact in that youth. I want God to make an impact in this church. I want God to make an impact in Walmart. I want God to make an impact in downtown Sparta or Toma or wherever you are from. I don't really care, because God is everywhere. And He's making an impact. It's not us. We need to realize it's Him. And then we'll start to see a change. Then we'll start seeing an impact. See, we show up to church, and it's, oh, I showed up, so something will happen. God showed up, and something's going to happen. But realize, it's not just here. It can happen at your house. It can happen at Walmart. It can happen at school. It can happen at work. Start having church in the wild. That's the title this morning. Why does it stop as soon as we leave these doors? Who are we reaching? I'm going to hold the mic the whole time with this hand, because then you can see this nice and clear. Because that's what I'm talking about this morning. This tattoo was not for LeBron James. It was for Acts 1:8. The power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that you'll be my witnesses. Paraphrasing, to the world! You'll be witnesses. What does a witness do? They show up and they tell the story of what they saw, and it's to save someone's life. That's what it is. Why does church stop when we hit the doors? And it's this perspective that needs to change, because it's the same perspective that when we sang, You Make Me Brave, that's why we didn't respond. Because as soon as it hits us needing to go out of our comfort zone, we disengage. So I'm asking you, don't disengage from this message this morning. Instead, let it change you. Because He needs to make us brave to do this. And that's why that song, oh my word, we got to be running. We got to be begging. We got to be pleading. We got to be sitting at His feet saying, make me brave. Make me brave. Please, Lord God. I'll tell you this morning, dude, God did so many things in one morning, just like piecing this whole thing together and then making me put my money where my mouth is. All in one morning. It's just like, wow, usually that comes after I preach. No, it came before this morning. And I think that was for a reason. Now, this isn't, oh, hey, look at me, I'm Mr. Perfect, because a lot of you know I ain't. But I needed a Red Bull this morning. I was feeling it. I woke up and I was like, yeah, camp was this past week. And so I needed a Red Bull. And so I walk across to the gas station, and the same guy was in there that's in there pretty much every time I go over there, because I go over there and buy a Red Bull a lot. Okay. And as soon as I walked in there, and I was like, oh, it's that guy. And then all of a sudden, nobody else is in there, and I'm thinking, oh, hey, you've never met that guy. Like, actually met him. Hey, you should talk to him. And I'm like, oh, all I want is a Red Bull. And I get to up there, and you know I'm in there a lot, because he grabs it, and before he even rings it up, that'll be $2.42. And then he's going, whoa, I just spit my gum almost, or I spit some of my gum. That's the junky gum with this, man. It busts apart in your mouth and can't stand it. I'm just saying. Anyway, but I'll get that later. we'll just leave it there. That way, when we have an altar call, any of you praying with people, you could just grab it, freshen up your breath. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm totally kidding. But see, I walk in there, and he says, 242, and I'm like, okay, here's your chance, and it's dead silent. And I'm like, talk, 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 because I can talk a lot. I've learned that this past week at camp, that I'm like an extrovert. Because there's this one girl and this one dude. They were counselors. Well, one was the leader of the worship team, and one dude was a counselor. And we'd be talking together, and every time I get around them, they were the quietest people in the world. And I was just talking the whole time. And I was like, why aren't you people talking? Then I realized maybe I should take a break. And then, but then see, like an extrovert, your way of getting other people to talk is you just ask them questions, and then as soon as they answer, you tell a story about how you relate. That's basically what it was. And so I just kept talking and talking and talking, as I am now. But that's the point. But anyway, him this morning, I wouldn't talk. And I'm like, seriously, you talked all week long. You met so many random people at camp and talked to them about all sorts of weird stuff. And you can't talk to this guy? And finally, I just look outside and I'm like, ha-ha, the weather. Do you know the weather today, sir? And he just says, well, you know, I think it's supposed to be cloudy, but it's supposed to be really hot. But I don't think it's going to rain. And I was like, thank you. Yeah, by the way, my name's Brock. I'm in here a lot. I don't think we've actually met. And he's like, hi, my name's Dave. And I was like, nice to meet you, Dave. Yeah, I'm in here a lot because I work across the street. And he says, oh, at the Super 8? And I'm like, winner. No, sir, I work at the church over there. And he smiles, and he's like, oh, very interesting. And I'm like, yes, it's one of those mornings, thank you. And he's like, have a good one. And I said, you too, sir. Now, no, I did not lead him in the sinner's prayer. No, I didn't tell him about Jesus Christ. But guess what? Now he knows there's a church over here. And the next time I need a Red Bull, I will talk to him more, because now I know his name. Dave. That's the way it goes. Could I have done more? Absolutely. Was it wrong not to do more? No. Would it have been wrong not to say anything? You bet your bottom dollar. Trying to think of adult-friendly things. Because, see, youth-friendly, oh, hey, you got a wide spectrum of things you could say. When I come in here, it's, oof, yeah, I get that look a lot right there, Justin. It's every time on a Wednesday, I know when I said something because he'll be in the back just. Last Wednesday was a little rough, I will say that. There's a couple things, but we won't speak about that. But, see, it's planting a seed, okay? It's planting a seed. And there's a second verse that I want to talk about. A second one. And it's in Galatians. I had this. Oh, I have it saved. What am I doing? Oh, no, I don't. Yes, I do. Yes. Would have taken me so long to turn there. Galatians. It's in the newer testament. The New Testament, not newer. Well, I guess technically it is newer. You know. I challenge you guys to take 14 guys to camp. And then come back and preach a message with a sane mind. And have kids licking each other and things like that. And I will say this, there's about five guys that went back with lines in their eyebrows. But anyway, Galatians chapter 5, okay? We are going to start in verse 13, my friends. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's interesting. It's interesting. When you love yourself, you take care of yourself. You pamper yourself. You make sure, you know, your hygiene, you maybe work out or do the opposite of workout and you have dessert and things like that. You know, when you love yourself, you do things for yourself. You take care of yourself. You go to the doctor. You go to the dentist. Haven't been to the dentist in a long time. But you do these things. You take care of yourself. You come to church because you take care of yourself. But see, maybe if we loved people just as much as we love each other, the world would be different. You know, instead of writing a Facebook status for everyone else because you love yourself so much, trust me, those aren't for other people, that's just for you. Nobody else told you the truth. Here it is. Maybe you should write it out, read it, apply it to your life, and then delete it. Maybe you should do that. Just saying. That's a little side note, sidebar. I feel cool when I say that. But here's the deal. Church in the wild. Too often, we come in here, and I hear these phrases, and I heard it at church camp. Hey, man, take it easy. It's just church camp. Well, then get off the court. My goodness. Or get off the field, man. Because, see, they play all sorts of sport games. Okay? And my kids, they make it a competition week long. And so they have different sports scheduled out based on your color team. And so we had a soccer game. And the group of guys that we brought some young phenom soccer players to camp. It wasn't planned that way. It just, they were. And so we went out there for soccer, and I said, all right, guys, shutout on three. One, two, three, shutout, because we were going to beat everybody. It didn't matter who you put out there. We were going to beat them. And the other team started getting a little chippy. They started getting a little over-aggressive. And one of my students came over to me and started talking to me. Dude, they're up here shoving me, grabbing my arms, pulling me around. And I looked at him. Now, oh, well, I'm just going to say it. I looked at him and I said, green light. Go for it. And Corey proceeded to just turn into a beast, and I loved it. He didn't hurt anybody. It was good. I'm saying, I said his name because it's a positive thing. And he goes out there. Well, then this one girl, like, tried to tackle him. And I'm like, this is European football, girl. And then he obviously, Corey is not a small person. And so she kind of bounced off and fell to the ground. Well, then it just so happened her brother was right there. Hey, that's my sister. But then he bounced off too. And then everybody's yelling at Corey, hey, this is church camp. And I'm like, shh, be quiet. Because how often, oh, hey, this is church. Or, hey, this is church camp, so we have to act a certain way. Why is it not a lifestyle? Why is it, oh, hey, you're at church, so you raise your hands. Oh, you're at church, so you clap to the song. Oh, you're at church, so you pray. Oh, you're at church, so you have your Bible in hand. Why is it that? See, because in this place, it's almost like there's a rule set, but as soon as you leave this place, there's freedom, because you're not around everyone else that's going to judge you. Talks about the freedom, and when you have that freedom, do not use it for your own fleshly desires. Yet for some reason, when we leave this place, we decide to enjoy things and not spend time with God. oh, I read my Bible this morning at church, or I heard a message at church this morning, or I did this at church this morning. But then Monday, Tuesday, the week rolls around, and all of a sudden, where is God in your week? And yet, you want to complain about the social issues of this world? I guarantee if I went up to every single one of you in here and asked you about this world, you could have something to complain about. Presidential campaign, cops, Black Lives Matter, whatever it is, you pick. You would have so much to say. So much to say. Yet what are we really doing about it? Are you praying about it? Do you pray about it as much as you complain about it? You could complain about all these social issues. You want to know what's going to change these things? God. You know what the world needs is not a good church service. It needs a church to start doing a service for them. You can have church in Walmart. I was on the verge of having church at the Amish Cheese House. Instead, I just shared with them a little bit. We'll have church next time. It's planting the seed. It's being a witness. Because, you know, leading up to camp, I talked to a few of my student leaders about it, and I said, it dawned on me, why do we wait for camp to get hype? Because camp, they got the band, they got all these kids, everybody's at the altar, they're jumping up and down, they're having this, they're having that. And I said, why do we wait for camp for that? Why can't we have that on a Wednesday in our youth service? And I'm asking you, why do you only come to church to have church? Why do you only come to church to experience God? Why is it that you're going to people and you're saying, hey, come to church with me, come to church with me, as if, like, this building is the only thing that's going to get them saved? Don't leave it up to the pastor to save people. Sure, he can make an altar call. Sure, he can make a salvation call. He can do that. That's part of it. But when Alan asked this question at camp, and it convicted me. Because, sure, I mean, on Wednesday nights I lead altar calls from time to time, or salvation calls and things like that. So, I mean, it hasn't really been that long for me. But he asked this question. He says, when is the last time you not just witnessed, but led someone to the Lord? And if I asked you that question, can you remember the last time? That's what it's about. Last time I preached, I talked about my dad and what to pass on to people and just showing up and loving people. If you really love people, you're gonna care about their soul. Sure, buying a meal for somebody is good. It's great. But if God ain't in it, it don't matter. You can start having church on the side of the road when you pull over to make sure somebody's okay or change their tire for them. You can start having church in Walmart with that one really cranky person that seems to always run their cart into yours. We all know somebody like that. You can start having church in the workplace. Oh, but that's not exactly socially acceptable. That's the workplace. We have a job to do. We're getting paid by the hour. This and that and this and that. Okay. After work. On break. You have no excuse. Reach people. There's a story that Alan shared at camp. And I'm not a dramatic person, typically. There's times. But the story is rather dramatic, but it stuck with me. There was this girl. She was on her way home. And she saw this guy who was hurt, so she's going to go help him. Well, as soon as she turns to go help him, she feels it's blacked out. She got cracked in the back of the head. And a group of 5, 6 guys dragged her into the alley. It was all a scam. And they start beating her, sexually assaulting her, just breaking her eye socket, crushed in. This is a true story, by the way. And there's people that are hearing this go on because she's screaming and she's fighting. And people look out their window and they say, "Hey, stop that. I'm going to call the cops." And one of the guys would look up and he'd pull up his shirt and say, "Hey, we see you. Get back in there. I'm going to come up and I'm going to shoot you." And so they'd go back in and they would shut the window. Later on, after this all was done and over with and she was laying there, cops show up. Ambulance shows up. And the cop asks for witnesses. And all of these people start lining up, right? Tell their story, tell what they saw. They open up the window, they yelled out the thing. And the chief is standing there, and he's taking their stories, he's taking their notes, he's writing it down. And then they said, "We just need you all to wait here for a second." All of a sudden, a white bus shows up with chain over the windows. They open up the back, and he asks all those people that were witnesses that were there that looked out their windows and yelled, he said, "Would you please place your hands behind your backs?" And they were handcuffed. And they were loaded up into the back of that bus. And they started saying, "What are you doing? It was those guys. It was those guys. What are you doing? We gave you what we knew. We told you the story. What are you doing?" And they kept saying it and kept begging and kept yelling. Till finally the chief lost it and said, "That's right. You didn't do anything. You did nothing." And they said, "They had a gun. They would have killed us." And he says, "That's right. You have the right to die in this country. But you do not have the right to do nothing. It makes you an accessory." And they loaded them up and they were all arrested. And I tell this story, and it, like I said, it's dramatic. But it gets the point across. When you're a Christian, you do not have the right to do nothing. There's people out there getting beat. There's people out there, literally and figuratively, there's people out there just getting bruised, taken to town. Life has beat them up. They are low, lowest of the low. And it wasn't by choice, it was because people just kept stepping on them. We're called to reach them. Not only that, we're called to reach the people that put them there. But see, we can't do nothing. Church in here is good. It's great. Let it empower you. Let it impact you. Let it change your perspective this morning. But you need to start having church out there. Because there's people that need it. You got to start doing something about it. Be a witness. Start doing something for the lives around you. I'll tell you what, at camp, they had an altar call. And I stood there and I was praying and I was waiting and he said, "Anybody dealing with self-harm, we want you to come up and get prayed for." I'll tell you, the moment that became real for me was when I saw a student walk to the front and come get prayed for that I ripped on. Jokingly, I gave him a hard time. But when I saw them walk to that altar because they had thought about self-harm, and knowing that I added to that, youth pastor, youth director, the person they're supposed to be safe with, there's people in this room that need it. It changes your perspective. And you need to let it change your perspective. I could go so many different directions with this message on being a witness and who needs to be at church. You guys have heard me say it before. I'm still waiting for the day that I could take my wallet and throw it on the pew and actually be worried about it. Because I got cash. I got the debit card. I got the carry conceal. I got it all in there. But you know what? In this church, I take my wallet out. I throw it on the pew because it's bugging me. I ain't worried. It's kind of a good thing. I mean, that's good that you guys aren't thieves. But at the same time, what does it say about the people that are in our church? Or should I say, not in our church? Who are we reaching? Who are we reaching? And if we want to see a difference, where's church going to happen? Because you know what? I mean, I'm sure you guys know as well as I do, to get somebody to come to church, man, it's difficult. It's hard. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of pulling and prying and persistence and praying. And you know what? Nowadays, nobody's got time for that, right? Too busy with something. That's why I'm telling you, because this was a change of perspective for me, because I've preached from this very this altar, pulpit, whatever. I don't spend much time up there, but I've preached from this very spot before and told you, invite people to church, bring people to church. Yes, and that is true, and that is good, but guess what? Like I just said, you and I both well know that it is difficult. So guess what? Start taking church to them. I think of Jesus. How many times did Jesus have to go to someone rather than them come to him? We got to start taking church to them because it's a lifestyle. It's the way we live. It's the light we shine. It's being ready in and out of season. That's what's going to change this world. That's what's going to change Sparta. That's what's going to change this community. It's not a Facebook post. It's not some CD. It's not some book. It's not some few words. It's God. God is what's going to change this place. If I want to see the youth's lives changed, I got to turn to God. I can't lean on my own understanding. I can't lean on my own wisdom. I can't lean on my own thoughts, my own opinions. Because I am just a man. So I want it to be not, I don't want it to be condemning this morning. I don't want it to be condemning. I want it to be challenging. I want it to be convicting. I want it to impact your life and motivate you to start reaching people. Start reaching people. A lot of you know my story. When you miss that opportunity and you just put it in the back of your mind and then later you find out it's too late. There's nothing worse than that. There is nothing I've experienced in this life worse than that. You can do it. You want to know how to do it? There you go. Pick up your Bible. Start praying. Start looking to God. Keep coming to church because that's where you're going to get filled. I mean, you can't drive a car without gas, right? It's a little bit difficult. You got to fill up. But you know what? You also have to drive the car. You can't just let it sit. You got to throw people in the back seat.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.